You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where no means try harder not to be an idiot. Joining me this week, via Skype, from our nation's capital, Daniel T. Richards. How are you, Daniel?
I'm doing swell. I think coffee tastes better when you drink it out of a Danixhold Repossessions mug, which is what I'm currently doing.
Did you just go out and buy a bunch of Atlas Shrugged theme
maybe
merchandise?
Stop judging me so negatively.
Because you didn't. I'm not judging you negatively. I'm just simply making an observation because you made a Facebook post the other day about another Atlas Shrugged product, didn't you?
A Hugh Axton diner mug, yes.
Yeah,
that's my thinking mug.
And you got all the Facebook objectivists all for Klempt?
I did. I had them squeeing over my mug, and I showed them where they could buy it. It's a beautiful design. I have others, Taggart Transcontinental, Reardon Steel. And several others. It's great. Love it. It makes me feel like I'm part of not a shitty society when I drink it. So, added benefit.
It makes you feel like you're not part of a shitty society because you're buying unlicensed merchandise.
Yes, exactly. No, because I feel like I can live in the world of the book. Like that Danixhold will actually come and repo something if I give him a call.
So I just want to be clear here.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, but me downloading television shows is not.
Wildly, yes.
You don't see anything similar there?
Nope, not at all.
All right. Also joining us this week, via Skype, from the beach that is long, for the last time ever, here, representing the gays instead of Elliot, William Green. How are you, William?
Doing great, doing great. I'm living in a jungle of boxes right now. We're moving next week, and it's really hard to find anything right now. The answer is it's in a box, but it's still really hard to find anything right now.
Oh, when Justin said for the last time, I thought you had a terminal illness.
Actually, yeah, I'm being cured of my gayness, and so I'll no longer be invited back on the show.
Yeah.
Then I kept thinking, is boxes a euphemism?
Yeah. He's transgender, so he wouldn't be William Green anymore. He would be some female version of the name William.
Wilmina?
Willa?
Yeah, Willa. Willa Cather. He's Willa Cather reincarnated.
That's frightening. She was not a glorious looking woman. Great writer.
She kind of had to be, didn't she?
I think Bruce Jenner is a prettier woman.
Oh, pioneers.
Willa Cather jokes.
Speaking of women who aren't that pretty and fancy themselves pioneers, it's time for The News with Daniel T. Richards.
All statues of men are sexist, at least according to the Daily Dot's Aja Romano. In fact, there's a specific statue in Texas of a man with his leg up on a bench speaking to a woman who is seated, and this has been dubbed the new mansplaining statue. Because apparently, when a man puts his leg up on a bench and talks to a woman, he must be telling her what she did wrong. I wasn't particularly familiar with the phrase mansplaining until
really?
This article.
Did you know it was in the dictionary?
I did not know it was in the dictionary.
I only know it from Futurama. There's a whole episode with the Amazonian women. And I thought they made that word up. It wasn't until I read this article that I realized that it was actually a feminist term. So it makes the episode a whole new layer of funny now. I need to rewatch it.
I mean, I'm totally down with man spreading. I know what that is. That's when a man sits down. But I didn't know that mansplaining was
down.
A thing.
You're going to drop the context of spreading his legs as well?
Well, that is embedded in the concept of a man sitting down. Because we have,
Have you seen a gay person sit down?
I try not to look directly at gays. It's like looking into the sun.
Is it like when William Riker sits down?
No, it's like when Thomas Riker sits down. Thomas would be the gay one if there was a gay Riker.
Oh. Well, yeah, there's definitely people who spread wide, and then there's other people who fold up in a way that I'm not sure how that works anatomically. They do the whole female crossing the legs thing.
Isn't there an in-between, though? Because my younger brother always used to sit with his legs very spread, and I always found that kind of weird and gross. Like, why are your legs spread that wide? It was like in an unnatural way. So isn't there an in-between here between, squishing your junk somehow?
Is he like doing the splits in a chair? Like, I'm trying to imagine what this actually unnaturally wide stance would be.
I had no idea there was such a thing as an unnaturally wide stance until people started saying there was such a thing as man spreading.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't define it as man spreading. I would just define it as, how is that comfortable for you? Just like as William said, when you cross your legs, how are you not squishing your junk?
Hmm. Well, regardless, this article, not about man spreading.
But
it's about the other offensive things
that men do, which is apparently talk.
Yeah.
So men can no longer sit or talk.
Or stare. Let's not forget stare rape.
Right. Of course. So the idea of mansplaining is that apparently men have opinions on every topic in the universe, including, according to this article, street harassment or vaginas. And then when a woman tries to give an explanation of something, inevitably a man will come in with a phrase like, actually, dee 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 dee, and mansplain to her the real answer, which I begin to wonder. Don't we already have a word for this? Isn't it called explain?
Well, but men do it so much better, so we had to make a word just for that.
Well, no, the whole point of it is that it's not just explaining something. It's explaining something to women because women can't possibly know, and men necessarily have to know better than women. It's the whole incorporating of the quote-unquote, they're calling it rape culture now, where the power is supposedly always towards the man and not the woman. So he's not just telling her she's wrong. He's telling her she's wrong because she's a woman and she can't possibly know. That's what mansplaining means.
How do you possibly know the difference when that's happening in the moment?
Well, that's my
argument. Does the man say, actually, you're a dumb broad. So the actual answer is...
Well, to foreshadow... That will be coming in our next article as well. That's the whole problem with the assumption of rape culture as well, is everything becomes assumed that way. So anytime a man explains anything to a woman, it's considered oppressive. But that's my bone to pick with this whole article and the whole concept of mansplaining, is I'm a dude and I've had dudes be like, actually, you're wrong, and explain stuff to me.
You've been mansplained?
Well, that's my point. I haven't been mansplained because maybe that's the way guys act. Maybe we have a way of that's how we explain things to people. Maybe it's a gender difference. But I don't think we're doing it because we say women are lesser than us. I just think we do it because we think we know more than everyone else. And it's not a gender thing, so don't take it that way.
It's not a gender thing. Has anyone else here had a girlfriend? I mean, William, maybe a long time ago before you remember. But, like, I will have conversations with my girlfriend all the time, and believe me, love my girlfriend, gonna be with her forever. But it's something like,
you need to start using
actually,
the word fiance, dude.
It's such an awkward word. And
it's such
French.
A French word, exactly.
Yeah. So
what's
like,
the American word for fiance?
Girlfriend. And
ball and chain? Handcuffs?
Don't mansplain me. And so, I'll say something like, oh, I think we, I think the keys are in the car. We're looking for them. And she'll go, nope, they're absolutely not. It's like, well, do you know? Yes, I know. I'm 100% certain they're not there. And we go look, and the keys are in the car. And why does this happen over and over and over again with women? And it's not just my relationship. This has become a stereotype. Adam Kroll brings this up all the time. Isn't that a form of woman-splaining?
Yeah, the assumption that the man is the idiot and they have to figure it out for them and tell them what they're actually doing wrong.
Yeah, every Home Depot commercial teaches me that. Every Home Depot and Lowe's commercial teaches me that the man is the idiot. And if I didn't bring a woman to Home Depot with me, I wouldn't know what to buy or how to build anything.
What about every sitcom? King of Queens, Everybody Loves Raymond.
Simpsons. Who's the stupid character in Simpsons?
Family Guy.
On top of this, they're just so confident about it.
I
understand being wrong. I'm wrong all the time, but I'm not enthusiastically confident about my being wrong.
I would take it a step further. They're not just confident about it. They're sanctimonious about it.
Yes, absolutely. So I feel like I've been woman-splained a few times as well. But there's another level to this article that I don't want to miss before we move on, which is their abysmal reading of these pieces of art.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. A good friend of mine, Luke Travers, had years ago opened my eyes to sculpture. And you look at these sculptures and they're not incredible sculptures. But when you actually look at them, like, you're seeing completely not what they are, what people are commenting on. Like, I don't know, when I first looked at the first one, I was like, oh, this is a guy flirting with a girl, you know? And,
right.
And
well, that's the rape culture. Don't you see? The inherent power dynamic is flirting by asserting his dominance over him. How dare you call that flirting?
This is a quintessential example of someone bringing an ideology to a piece of work and saying, I'm going to overlay my view of the world onto everything in it.
No, I think the quintessential example was that Clorox tweet where they said, where's the bleach?
Well, yes. Anyone who's unfamiliar, you should go back and listen to all of our podcasts to find that reference. There's no way we'll be able to tell you which one it is.
That's right.
But this is, I mean, exactly, William. This statue is clearly a guy approaching a girl in a flirtatious manner, and she's actually not, I mean, she's receptive to it in a certain sense. And I think the statue title is called New Friends. That is what the artist was trying to convey.
And the reason he's leaning in like that with his leg up on the bench and his other leg down and he's leaning forward is he's framing it in a way where he's like, look at my junk. Don't you want this junk?
The statue could be called I'm Ridiculously Hung.
No.
But
what?
That's how I read the statue, William. You cannot take away my subjective interpretation of this statue.
You know, I would think his hips would be far further forward if he was trying to show off of the junk. I'm just saying.
And then there's a second statue.
Maybe he doesn't need to do that.
Which they say is just how epidemic this mansplaining statue culture is of a student in a similar pose, one leg up on a bench. But in this case, he looks like he's almost debating the woman who's sitting on the
bench. Friendship is a terrible epidemic. It's tearing through high schools everywhere, even back from the 50s. You know, people building friendships with other people across sex lines. We just, as feminists, we just cannot tolerate this.
Indeed, men should just stand up and shut up.
Shouldn't they sit down, especially when they pee?
No!
Yeah, if they should stand up on the bench, both feet on the bench.
Sounds about right to me. You know what doesn't sound right to me? Rape. That was supposed to be humorous, but
what a transition.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that was funny. I think rape doesn't sound right to any of us.
It was just supposed to be like, that's a weird non sequitur, almost.
Well, it was, anyway. Sort of, except
I'm the master of transitions.
No, I think...
Let me mansplain something to you. I'm the master of transitions. Now
wait, your leg,
that way,
leg is not on a bench. I'm not listening.
I think you need to listen to your Adam Carolla shows more because they're the masters at transitions.
No, I'm the master. Now I am the master. Kathy Young, who is a contributor to Reason Magazine and Newsday and Real Clear Politics, made a little bit of waves this week on the social medias when she published a opinion piece in the Washington Post called Feminists Want Us to Define These Ugly Sexual Encounters as Rape, Don't Let Them. Kathy begins by actually giving a bit of a personal narrative about her life when she was 19 and sort of guilt tripped into having sex with an older married man. But she talks about the fact that she was guilted into it, but that it wasn't forced on her. He didn't hold her down. It wasn't against her will. She did agree to it, even though she felt sort of bad about it, disgusted by it. But her point is, there are things that are bad. There are things that are immoral. There are things that are disgusting that are not rape. And that rape is a very specific thing. It's when you are forced against your will to have sex. And that the idea of rape culture takes all of these things that are bad and should be shamed and lumps them into something that is a crime, that is horrific. And by doing that, completely diminishes the actual horrifying nature of rape itself.
Yeah, so, I think the pull quote from this article is really there in like the fourth or fifth paragraph where they say, even in the first incident in which the man knowingly pressured me into something I didn't want, I could have safely said no to him. Despicable behavior is not always criminal, just like getting guilt-tripped into giving money to a freeloading friend is not robbery.
Absolutely. And her point here is that, her second point here is that it's not just men who can do this, right? I think she also goes on to say at one point where she got a friend of hers drunk and took advantage of him because she wanted to have sex with him. Is that rape? No, it's bad behavior, but it's not rape. So, a lot of good things in this article, which is why it was shouted down in its entirety by all of the internet. Except
yeah, I think if that second statement was true, I think basically every gay bar should just be renamed a rapist bar, because I think everyone is trying to just get everyone drunk so that they can take advantage of each other.
Yeah, college would just be renamed rape.
Yeah, rape you.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, yeah. I'm always looking for new businesses, so maybe I'll open a bar and just call it rape.
Yeah, but it would have to be something
get
like
headlines. That'd be a very provocative name.
It would, and when they interviewed you, it doesn't say rape; it's rapé.
There you go.
It's French. I'm going to forcibly have sex with you.
Rapé, my fiancé.
Oh.
That was a callback.
And she goes on to talk about how there's this entire notion of. Where does she go on here? That consent culture, right? That mm-hmm. the only way for something to be consent is if both people look into each other's eyes and say, yes, I will have sex with you in this moment. But then the moment they lay down, then they have to have that moment again and say, yes, I will continue to have sex with you. And then when he first starts to get on top of her, they have to say, yes, I will continue to have sex with you. And basically you have this infinite number of positive consent in order it to be completely consensual. And of course she thinks that's ridiculous. And I do too.
So does this mean like, you know, those porns where the girl is just screaming yes, yes, yes over and over again, those are actually like educational videos now? Like this is how it's supposed to be?
I think so. Pretty close to that, except that the man has to be asking, do you still want to have sex with me?
Okay, so every thrust must be consented.
But it does when he says, do you like that over and over again?
Not do you like it. Pleasure isn't consent.
Oh.
Justin, rape culturist.
Sorry.
Let him mansplain this to you.
Exactly.
That's a callback.
Because she's enjoying it doesn't mean she actually wants it.
Who would want something good?
Exactly.
No, this whole consent thing is, it's just unbelievable. It's over the top and it's taking over. It was really sort of serendipitous that this article came out this week because Daniel and Elliot, who's not with us today, can attest to the fact that I was sort of ranting a little bit in our thread this week on Facebook because somebody is trying to destroy the pop punk community from within, well, a group of people are now, based upon this whole rape culture.
Give us a little background on that.
Yeah, exactly. This is news to me.
It's ridiculous, William. What do you hear? What's going on? So one of my favorite bands has a new album coming out on June 2nd. 4 years strong. They're from my hometown. I've been a fan of them for a bunch of years now. They're really good. They're the style of music I like. They're pretty much my sense of life. And their last album wasn't too good. They tried to go more mainstream and take the punk out of their sound and go more alternative. So they tried to make a more mainstream album, and it didn't really work, and they lost a lot of their fan base. So they recently signed with Pure Noise Records to release their new album, which is sort of their comeback. Now, you may be asking, what the hell does any of this have to do with rape? And that's what I thought.
Well, I mean, other than the record company going to rape them financially.
If it was even that, I would have understood. Mm-hmm. But I didn't even think that as I went to the thread on Absolute Punk to read about their stream. So a lot of bands nowadays will stream an album before it comes out so people can say, oh, I like that. I will pre-order it or buy it when it comes out. So I go into this thread and there's a whole disclaimer on it about why you need to boycott Pure Noise Records and everyone saying 63 pages of replies or 20 pages of replies or whatever it was of people saying you need to boycott this band. Why do you need to boycott this band? Because Pure Noise Records signed another band and the tour manager for 4 Years Strong supported supposedly rape culture. Now, how did this happen? This is where it gets stupid, Tumblr, ridiculous, and it gets into this whole rape culture thing that Kathy Young is speaking out against. So in 2013, now mind you, it's the year 2015, correct? In 2013...
Thank you.
The member of another band, who is nowhere near as good as 4 Years Strong, but coincidentally also from Worcester, posted on Tumblr about a supposed rape that happened with the drummer of a band called Bellwether, who's now in a band called No Good News that Pure Noise Records signed. And he posted about it, not because he was the one who was supposedly raped, but because a female fan or friend, I don't know, told him about the story. So I am going to read this story. It's not that long. And I want to point out that this story is not rape, and not it should not be twisted as rape and portrayed as rape. And people are portraying it as rape, and they're saying this guy is a rapist, to the point that this band, No Good News, which was signed by Pure Noise Records at the beginning of May, and this incident supposedly happened July 23rd, 2012, when this guy, the drummer, was 19 years old, and then it was released on May 1st, 2015, that the label signed him to his new band, so he's not even in the same band, and supposedly now the band has been disbanded. They're no longer a band, and everyone's saying Pure Noise Records should be boycotted, and any band that supports, is on Pure Noise Records, or supports the former tour manager of this drummer, should be boycotted as well. Because if you don't, you're supporting rape culture, and you're supporting rape. So this is the supposed story. I start the quote. I got into the van with Harry. Harry is the name of the drummer. Because he wanted to show me a video. Okay, I'm going to stop here for a second. You're on tour with a dude, and he goes, come get into my band's van. I want to show you a video. Video means penis. Okay, I just want to clear that up for you. All right, I will continue. I admit it probably wasn't a good idea to get in the van, but being in a van doesn't mean I'm consenting to anything. See, there's this thing. I'm going to pause again. There's this thing called, it's not consent, but it's called positive signals. But I'll get into that in a second. That's my next point about this whole article. Continuing. Anyways, he showed me a bit of the video, closed the laptop, and pulled me on top of him and put my hands on his penis. And I figured if I played with it, he wouldn't try anything else. Okay, I'm going to stop there again for a second.
Wait a minute. Wait. She didn't stop him or say no or... Did you skip a paragraph?
No, that's it. This is why I'm saying it's directly relevant to this Kathy Young story. So it continues. But I was wrong, and he tried to physically force me to give him head, and I kept saying no, but he was not taking that for an answer, and he kept trying. Then he got on top of me and pushed me down and tried taking off my pants. His friends came in. Harry got up, and we just sat there. After that, he continued to make out with me and tried to get me to do more, then give him a hand job, and finally he just gave up on me, basically. I feel shitty because I never got justice, so I tell as many people as I can about it because I think it's only fair to ruin his reputation. I also act all pissed off and tough about it, but I'm really not because he basically scarred me. I've been afraid of any type of sexual contact since this happened. What pisses me off most is that when Harry left the van and went to his friends, he acted like he got some and they all cheered. I was so embarrassed, I wanted to just die. There's no punctuation in this. She raped my eyes by lacking punctuation. But my point is, this seems exactly like what Kathy was talking about. When this girl gets older, she'll be like, oh, that was an awful experience I had as a fan of these bands going to the van with this band dude. But is this rape?
So, it's one side of the story, right?
Right.
And the initial encounter does not, to me, seem to be rape. If he was indeed physically holding her down in some manner where she couldn't move and she was saying no, then that's at a minimum sexual assault or just assault, I guess. I don't know where the boundary is. I'm not a lawyer. But he didn't actually have sex with her, correct? And she didn't actually perform oral sex.
No, but it says they made out and she gave him a hand job, apparently. Because she thought that that would make
him
stop.
Yeah, isn't that, like, terrible communication? Like, I don't want to have sex with you, so I'm going to give you a hand job? Like,
right.
It seems like terrible. Yeah, the hand job will make you not want to have sex with me. I don't think that's not how that works, right? Like, I'm just trying to ask because, you know, I've not been with a girl, so I don't know. Do girls, like, always opposite talk, like, during sex? Like, and if some guy's giving me a hand job, I'm thinking they might want to do something more.
But hold on to that opposite talk thought in a second, because once we move on from this pop punk story, I want to come back to that. But as far as this pop punk story goes, this is the entire point of the Kathy Young article, as I saw it. So the problem I have with this is, I was in a 4-year strong thread in the year 2015. And somehow I'm supposed to not support this band that I love and not help their career move forward because this nebulous incident happened in the year 2012. Does that make sense? I'm somehow supporting rape culture because I want to support this band. How is that fair on any level? And here's the thing. This is how pervasive this idea of rape culture has gotten. This isn't even the girl reporting this. This is, she told a guy in another band who posted it on his Tumblr. And I'm supposed to take that as rational and reasonable and say that's enough evidence for me to boycott a bunch of bands and an entire label?
Well, if it's on Tumblr, then it's been verified as true.
I thought that was on Twitter with the check marks.
Did she press charges? Do we know?
No, that's what I'm saying. There have been no charges pressed or anything. The kid had to make a statement in, it looks like on May 6th he had to make a statement where he said he was taking a break from the band, and then 5 days later the band was dropped off of a tour and they say we heard they're disbanding. So no charges have been pressed. People have just said that, you know, that's just her side of the story, that's not what happened. He's never given his full side of the story, he just said he thought things were other than they were. In his statement here, he basically says he thought things worked. Oh, I believed it was a consensual occurrence between two adults, and in the heat of the moment, I should have been more responsible and conscious of the parties involved.
That's ambiguous, but...
Well, of course it's ambiguous. He's being ambiguous on purpose because you can't put a statement on the internet that admits to this, and then charges get pressed when none have been pressed. But he can't have a career now. Do you understand that? Because anytime, look, his band tried to get signed, and now the band's screwed because these people are going to destroy him no matter what. You talked about the consent culture. There's this disclaimer they're posting on this Absolute Punk site on any news article associated with this label has a bunch of videos that are what is consent. And you watch it, and it's this positive consent, and this whole thing, consent is sexy. And at any time, the woman can take away consent.
Yeah. So here's the thing about this. Like, even if you take that, even if you take someone for words at face value and declare that what he did was immoral or disgusting, one, it wasn't rape that I can see. I mean, the most it could be, if you could prove it, would be sexual assault, which is bad. If he's guilty, he should be punished. But nonetheless, nothing was proven. He wasn't charged, and the woman in this case isn't even the one talking about it. Like, she's not even the one out there protesting. So those three things combined, at their very least, should be if you want to make him seem like a bad person, do that. Fine. I think it's dumb and a waste of energy, but go ahead. But to then expand that out and say, because anyone associates with this person, especially in a business context, that entire business needs to be boycotted. That's an incredible leap of logic. And for me, that's immoral. You're trying to destroy an entire livelihood based on something that can't be proved, based on something not even from the original source. Let's get serious here, people.
And that's
this are real people's lives.
And that's the thing, like, so that's those people, right? So those, you know, that's a 4-year star, and that's the story so far. They're being hurt because of this, which they had nothing to do with. And people were like, they need to explain why they're hiring this tour manager, where the tour manager just went to people and said, can you guys not go around saying this? Like, this is
what about the people who cleaned up the bus or the bus drivers? Should they never be hired again because they tangentially were related to this thing?
I don't think you're expanding it far enough. Everyone who went to that concert should never work a day in their life again. They're supporting
exactly.
the rape culture.
They're supporting rape culture. And then anyone who, you know, employs those people and the people who employ those people, et cetera, et cetera, let the whole world be unemployed because of rape culture.
That's a really good point, because that's what I feel about this guy. Is so now this kid is destroyed for the rest of his life, something he did that was stupid at 19, stupid and immoral. I would say it was immoral. If it's not assault, it's at least immoral. As we were saying with the Kathy Young article, you can do things that are immoral and wrong and it's not assault. But now because he did that at 19, he can never play in a successful band again. That's been decided by random people on the internet. And this goes to me, William, this goes to what you were saying about, do women just do things in opposites? They communicate in opposites. Because of the way feminism has told us we need positive consent from the women, we need positive consent from women.
you can't mansplain it any other way.
and because of this whole, you know, the way the different genders interact, I've had exactly that problem my entire life, is because sometimes they do, to me, I think, communicate in opposites. But if you're always looking for positive consent, and direct consent, you might not ever get that. And because of that, it's made it impossible for me to read signals. I have no idea what's real and what's true.
I just now thought of how nefarious this could be if a woman was conscious about this, right? And I'm not saying that I've met anyone like this, but I'm certain that they're out there. But basically they could lead you on as much as they wanted with positive signals, but not, positive confirmation, not a yes, you may enter my vagina, to the point like where they like get whatever they want out of it and then just be like, nope, we're done. And then from that point forward, it's rape, 100% rape.
You've never met a woman like that before?
No, luckily.
You've been very, very fortunate, because there's a lot of them out there.
I just never thought of it as using it as like, like an attack weapon.
Have you heard of the friend zone?
Yes.
What do you think the friend zone is?
It depends on the person, but I see your point.
I agree. There is a legitimate thing called the friend zone, right? But in a real friend zone, people can actually read that. But the problem with the way the friend zone has manifested in today's society is women will do exactly just that. Girls will do exactly just that. They'll dole out just enough positive signals or opposite signals where it seems like they're making the guy chase them, whatever sort of signals. And then when it gets to the point that they don't want it anymore, they'll remind the guy that they have all the power, and that puts them in the friend zone. And the guy's choices are either just tell this woman to fuck off or just be friends with her.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, again, we should just have a section called stupid disclaimers. But as a stupid disclaimer, obviously it's fine for a woman not to want to have sex with a guy. Of course. Duh. But the point is that the woman has to take some moral responsibility for leading someone on in a context where they know that sex is the desired outcome. And if you honestly don't want to have sex with a person, you shouldn't be putting in the first 95% of the steps that would attract someone to that, and then at the end go, no. Of course you can deny. That's fine. It's your right as a human being. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be judged poorly for what you did before that.
Right. As I said, there is a legitimate friend zone, and there's legitimate saying, hey, we're friends. And then the guy's like, okay, we're friends. And you know what that is. Any rational human being knows when you're legitimately friends with someone of the opposite sex. Damn whatever Harry and Sally may say, there are cases when it's possible. But the logical conclusion of what we're talking about is, you're in the middle of having sex with a woman and she's like, I don't want to have sex anymore. And then it becomes rape because you're inside of her and then she says no. She gives you the positive no, which is no longer the positive yes. As William was saying, yes, 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 no. Is that rape? Is that rape at that point? Because you can't, it's not possible for you to get out as she says no unless you're a mind reader. So only Professor X cannot commit rape. Well, that might be because things don't work for him either. But, so if we're using this standard of it always has to be positive affirmation consent, and then they say no, can't you technically be raping someone if they say no in the middle of sex?
Yeah, the question has always been at that point, like, do you have to be out within half a second? Like, do you get a full 1 to 6 seconds? Like, because, I mean, I've actually read cases, mainly in college campuses, where it's like, literally the woman would wait until the very last second, you know, at that point, you might be seeing a guy's, sort of vinegar strokes. And then she says no, and then the guy finishes within the next, let's say 10 to 15 seconds, and she still presses charges. It's like, well, okay. Like, how quickly does this need to happen?
Yeah, but I mean, isn't that what you're talking about with you never realized how malicious this is? Look at that as a malicious thing for a second.
No, well, I do look at that as a malicious thing. My point was, like, pre that. Sort of like not getting to that stage, but using it as a lead on to get, because maybe we're delving into an area here where the hate mail will flow freely, but women, there are certain, I mean, women and men are different despite the fact that we don't want to admit that. And women, in a lot of ways, look for more emotional satisfaction in a given relationship. Not that they don't want sex, of course, but that the emotional side of it is better for them. So they can use this as a shield, basically, to get everything they want out of the experience with a man, minus maybe something that the man really wants, which is a physical relationship, to feel intimate. And I think that's bizarre.
Well, that's what I was just saying about the modern day friend zone. That's the modern day friend zone is exactly what you just said.
Yeah. I just never thought of it. I never thought of that aspect of it being malicious. I knew the during sex malicious thing. I've heard about women doing that. I've read cases about women doing that.
But that's just the logical, it's the logical same thing. So basically, in the middle of sex, she gets all the pleasure, and then she's trying to deny the guy the pleasure at the end of it. Not that it's not pleasurable during, but, you know, obviously that's the most pleasurable part.
How dare you.
William, do you have anything you want to weigh in on here?
How prevalent is this in the gay community?
Rape culture is, there's a whole different problem, I think, in the gay community, but everyone is much more forward and sexual in general, like in public, at least, you know, when you go out to like gay events or gay bars or anything like that. But yeah, I know that, you know, my roommate who's straight comes out and he gets very uncomfortable. So I think it can be a little bit cultural at times about how much you're expecting to be, I guess, how aggressive people are. And I think we don't want to confuse being uncomfortable with being threatened. And I think that that's some of what's going on here, is that people don't like something, or they're feeling threatened, or they're actually being threatened. I think there's this continuum here that people are just sort of automatically jumping to, well, I feel uncomfortable, therefore I'm threatened.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate, because I think you lose a lot of human interaction and a lot of what it means to experience life
and to improve yourself. Because I think what the suppressed premise and what you were saying, William, is that these responses are different for every individual, and we're trying to give a catch-all rubric to classify this for everyone, where different things make every person uncomfortable.
Yeah. Alas. It may suck to be a woman in the modern culture, or not, because you get to live longer. That's right. A little piece in The Independent points out, what's the best piece of advice if you want to live really long? Be a woman! The 10 oldest people ever to have lived are all female, and the list of the 100 verified oldest people contains only a handful of men. So, fuck you, men. Not only do you get to not have sex, you get to not live as long as that. Wasn't this is an Adam Carolla joke, right? Like, I'll take 70 cents on the dollar if I can live an extra 7 years.
Oh, no. That's an Ann Coulter joke, where she said she'll gladly take 70 cents on the dollar to never have to face the fear of rejection.
I think Carolla said basically the same thing, but live an extra 7 years.
Two people can't come up with the same, different variation on the same joke.
I think they can.
No. That sounds like Adam Carolla is raping Ann Coulter. That's what that sounds like.
God. That would be a horrible scene. Worst porno ever. So, I understand this whole women live longer thing, and in fact, it's amazing, like, the oldest woman and the oldest person ever to have lived, born 1875, died 1997, age 122 and 164 days. Also, once you get over 100, you start reverting back to, like, children counting, and you're like 100 and a half, 100 and three quarters. Then when you get over 110, it's like 110 and 9 days. Because you could croak at any given second. And by the way, her, other than being a woman, she said that the reason she lived so long is that she enjoyed an occasional glass of port wine and a diet rich in olive oil. Fun fact, she met Vincent van Gogh and described him as dirty, badly dressed, and disagreeable.
And so now we understand why women live longer and men live not as long.
And he said, huh? What? Huh?
Because he couldn't hear her because she talked into his non-existent ear?
Yes. Vincent van Gogh jokes. But there's one thing in this article that they sort of gloss over a little bit.
Is it rape culture?
Yes. That they gloss over a little bit to talk about women, which is, location-wise, the United States is the place to be for living super old, with a staggering 51 of the top 100 hailing from the U.S.
Not for long, though. Not with Obamacare. We can catch up.
I know. My first thought was always, haven't we been told that the U.S. healthcare system is the worst in the world? How is it that we have 51 of the top 100 oldest people ever?
Because they're the 1%, Daniel.
But
I think it's because they're getting mansplained. They've been mansplained about how to live. Yeah, how to live at the hospital.
This has something to do with rape somehow.
Yes. We're raping the rest of the world when it comes to oldest living people. And Japan sees its fair share of 100-year-olds. But also, isn't this an argument for, like, the wealth creation of the United States, and how when businesses are even quasi-free, we can live fantastic and older lives? Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just being an anti-environmentalist right now, but it seems
you're
like a nice
supporting
perk
the
for
99%.
Women.
These people are old because they're living at the expense of the 99%. They are taking years from the 99% and putting it in the 1%. Didn't they make a movie about that?
This is not timeless. Yeah.
No, it's not timeless. It's that movie with Justin Timberlake where their economy was based upon hours and minutes.
Oh, what was that called?
Stupid
was called timeless.
Is what it was called.
But your thing is called timeless.
Yeah. Don't confuse my thing with stupidity.
I forget. It was a terrible movie. It was very Marxist and whatever.
Yeah, but that's the point. That's how they would respond to this. You get what I'm saying? You're objectively correct that this is a result of the Industrial Revolution and the consequences of the Industrial Revolution, where you look at once we industrialized, people's lives started improving. And we don't judge the standard of living based upon the way it's improved for everyone. We judge it based upon the highest. Well, Bill Gates has however many billion he has. Therefore, the people who, you know, live off 50,000 a year or 30,000 a year and have cell phones and color TVs and refrigerators, their style of life is bad because they're not like Bill Gates. Are you sure? Try and compare that to the Middle Ages, all right? Just, actually, you know what? Just turn on Game of Thrones and tell me that you don't have it good, okay?
Although they do have dragons.
The 1% has dragons. Literally, the 1 has dragons.
But it's actually a very good point. Someone pointed out the other day that we often say something like, the poorest in America live like kings in ancient eras. But kings in the ancient era didn't have access to air conditioning and refrigerators and antibiotics and modern medicine. And so that the end line of this thing on Facebook, which I wish I could find it, was poor people in America don't live like kings of yesteryears. Poor people in America live like the gods of yesteryears. Like,
yeah, just plumbing as one example.
plumbing. I mean, my goodness, half of my kingdom for a toilet. Not a fucking horse. So, yeah, Industrial Revolution is completely, entirely underrated. Never thought I'd say that my entire life, but seriously, it is. One other thing I want to note from this article before we move on is that every single one of these people, when they talk about living long, has things like nibbling on milk chocolate turtles, cashews, and potato chips. Or Misawa Okawa, who died in 2015 at the age of 117 in 27 days, said that she ate ramen noodles and beef stew as well as hashed beef and rice mackerel sushi. So basically, the idea of living long is do whatever the hell you want and have good genetics. Or live in the United States.
Yeah, that reminds me of my aunt, who all she does is eat chocolate and smoke, yet she doesn't seem like she ever gets older or is ever going to die.
She may, in fact, never die. What's the phrase? I plan to live forever, and so far so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of rape culture, did you know that you're raping the television industry? Find out how next in TV with JML. Even though Elliot is not with us this week, he found a great article that we're going to discuss here, and it is on a supposed backlash brewing against binge TV. This article is in the Hollywood Reporter, and I'm going to read a relevant quote to you. The most important paragraph from the article. I miss having people on the same page. Orange is the New Black creator Jenji Kohan tells The Hollywood Reporter, adding, I do miss being able to go online and have the conversation the day after, but it's kind of a waste of time to lament that because that's not the way our show comes. The comments by Kohan, whose prison dramedy debuts its third batch of episodes June 12th, first off, I'm going to stop right there. Calling Orange is the New Black a dramedy is generous because there's nothing funny about that show. Anyway, returning to the paragraph. Echo Mad Men creator Matthew Weiner saying May 20th that if he created a series for Netflix, he would ask that it roll out episodes over time. So, quote, at least there was just some shared experience. I love the waiting and marination. Now, here's my question about all this, and I'm going to throw it to you guys. I've said over and over again that movies and TV especially, is sort of becoming like the new literature, the new books.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't these people just playing to their own egos, their own need for approval, by needing to have people talk about it online and have their responses the next day for each episode? Isn't that like saying, oh, I wish, you know, chapters were released every week so I could see what people say every week? Isn't the whole point, isn't this a good thing because people can watch it whenever they want and enjoy the story whenever they want, and the focus is on the story, not the marketing of it as it comes out each week?
I'm going to say no. It's actually a reaction to an artist not being able to, basically being seeing that there's another way to deliver their content. And in this case, it's a transition from something that's more like a serial, like something that, you know, like this is very common in sci-fi, right? You'd have sci-fi serials, as early as the 40s and 50s, 60s, 70s. You'd have publications of these sci-fi serials to a novel, right? Where, like you were saying, where basically everything for the whole story comes all out at once.
Dickens was famous for that. He released his books. They were actually released as serials.
Right. So there might be some narcissism here, but there also might be just some artistic objections, right? I could see where if something's meant to be consumed serially and that experience is part of it, that there is something not there if you're consuming the material all at once.
I can see a bit of narcissism in this, and knowing what I know about many Hollywood people would understand that it may very well be wild and rampant narcissism, but I think there could be a completely rational rational desire to see people talking about and thoroughly enjoying your work. Not that you would need that for some sort of satisfaction, but there is, you get a certain kind of pleasure from seeing people actually understand what you're trying to do, right? So that it's not like a Richard Haley situation in Atlas Shrugged, or even Ayn Rand in real life, who was wildly disappointed by the reviews of her book, not because they were bad reviews, because they didn't fucking get it at all. Like, if they had been bad reviews but actually understood it, she'd probably been perfectly fine with it. So I don't know which direction these go here, and knowing what I know about the series Orange is the New Black, I would probably lean toward this guy as a horrible nihilist narcissist douche, but
woman. She's a woman.
Oh, see, I didn't even get that from the quote. What's her name?
Genji.
Yeah, see, I had no idea. That can go either way. Let's be serious.
Well, that's the entire point of Orange is the New Black. Most of those characters can go either way. Isn't there even a transgender character in Orange is the New Black?
I have watched 22 minutes of Orange is the New Black total and was so disgusted that I couldn't watch anymore.
Well, I haven't watched a single second of it.
Yeah, keep it that way. But let's discuss more generally then. You know, let's not talk about and try to classify, you know, how these people were responding, because we don't know them, so it's difficult to read, you know, what their psychological motivations are here.
Sure.
Is binge watching good or bad? Is there a value to binge watching? Or, and this is sort of what I lean towards, I do like the fact that it's available whenever you want it. Like, I'm still working through Daredevil at my own pace when I have time.
Which is an incredibly slow pace. I think I finished that, like, weeks and weeks ago.
Hey, I got a lot going on in my life, okay?
Dude, we're both moving.
It's true. But, are we moving in together? I didn't make that connection.
No.
Oh.
Just a coincidence. But even though you have it available, and that's a good thing, some people tend to watch it all in one sitting. Like, I knew somebody who posted on Facebook that he watched Daredevil all in one sitting. Don't you miss the content at that point because you aren't having enough time to process it? Because even when you read a book, or at least when I read a book, I have to put it down for a little bit to process what I read before I move on. I can't just read it all through in one sitting. And if it's a book I can read all in one sitting, it's usually not as good as a book that takes me multiple sittings to get through.
So there are a couple of things here that I would say. Binge watching per se isn't good or bad. It's how you use it, and how, if you integrate this, the knowledge of that people are going to binge watch, with how you, not necessarily create, but how you edit or market the series. So for instance, House of Cards was designed with this concept of binge watching in mind. So the delineation between each episode is different than the delineation between something like The West Wing, which has 100% complete arc in a given episode. The way House of Cards works is you'll have an arc that completes in an episode, but you'll maybe have other arcs that just start at the end, like just barely begin at the end, or that are almost about to finish at the end. And so that the distinction between any given episode is much less. And in fact, if you edited all of House of Cards together to be one massive, giant, movie-like episode, it would make perfect sense that it was just going from scene to scene to scene. But shows like Daredevil don't necessarily do that. So I don't think they lend themselves to binge-watching. I couldn't binge-watch Daredevil. It just would make me insane. And I'm also working my way through it. But I couldn't binge-watch, what's the fucking show, 24. My God. When I tried to binge-watch 24, I felt like my head was going to explode every 40 minutes.
Yeah, the problem with binge-watching 24 is it's just a process of escalation. So it actually ends up taking away from the suspense because you're like, oh, it'll just get worse next episode.
Right. Some shows, the suspense and the waiting is sort of built into how the story functions. And in those cases, you shouldn't release those as binge-watching. You should release those as a serial. And so you have to think about how this best serves the story. It's just another tool in that regard. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird.
No, Daniel, you're not weird. But you know who is weird? The internet. Find out how right now on Reddit on Reddit.
Sony, stupid, Xbox, lame. PC, gaming all the way. EA, blow, Steam, rocks. Got Risk, Foam, on Firefox. These things are all on Reddit. Mostly pics of felines, comma, whoring felines. These things are all on Reddit. No, we didn't post it, but we will repost it.
All right, I hope you guys are ready for this. We kind of have a little over-the-top Reddit on Reddit section this week. It's a little all over the place. The first one, first Reddit. Has human society and culture fundamentally altered our own biological evolution? Now, there's like a lot of ways we can go with this.
Yeah, like, you know, yes or no.
Well, I think...
Way to simplify it, Daniel. Way to simplify it.
I think the answer is yes. I think there's lots of ways that we've modified our own biology. I mean, we've modified the biology of the creatures around us and certainly we've modified our own biology. I mean, we're taller than the earlier humans. We're stronger than some of the earlier humans in some ways. We're smarter. So there's lots of things going on there. I mean, we also drink, isn't there a lactose, gene also a newer thing in human evolution? So there's lots of ways that we've by culture, because obviously drinking milk is a cultural thing. We've changed our genetic makeup.
I mean, yeah, because we were totally like, you know, fuck my stomach. This milk shit is good, and eventually we evolved to be able to digest it.
Yeah, but, paleo people, did you hear that?
But I think it's almost a way in which we absolutely had to have altered our biological evolution, right? Which is that we have sort of taken natural selection and been like, fuck you, Darwin. Because
that's what I was going to say. Glasses,
we actually
anyone?
Cure people now. We don't let them die of really simple diseases that would have wiped them out. We don't let them die of being eaten by a bear. We don't war with each other as tribes that much anymore to wipe out certain people, although.
But that all started once Obama became president. I mean, that's how that's pretty fast for evolution to kick in.
Exactly. Because with Obamacare, pre-Obamacare was just...
Yeah, people were dying in the streets.
Exactly. But so I think we necessarily have changed our biological evolution by allowing... I mean, this is going to sound horrible, but allowing the quote-unquote weaker among us to perpetuate and have offspring. Not that they're... I'm not saying... forget it. I'm not going to justify myself. Wait for our stupid disclaimer section. But, so yeah. Necessarily, we had to have affected it.
Yeah, dumb people. You're alive because we allow you to be. Think about that for a second.
Yes. But some, I mean, some people can't avoid it, right? Like the Darwin Award winners, like they just, they're keeping the dream alive of natural selection. But it, our selection now is completely and entirely unnatural. And that's a good thing, by the way. I'm completely in favor of that. Nature must be commanded.
To be obeyed?
Well, that too, but if we're to survive.
I said it backwards.
You did.
I think though there's an important issue to discuss here. And it's that because we've sort of, I don't want to say outgrown because it's a difficult word, but because we're altering our own
I believe in you, Justin. Just say it slowly. Outgrown.
Because we've altered our own biological evolution, it's important that we don't let our culture be tied down by archaic biological principles or roles. And what I'm specifically referring to here is
rape culture.
Rape culture, which is an offshoot of male disposability.
Well, wouldn't male disposability be an evolutionary positive thing? I mean, that's like cutting out, you know, half the folks you got to feed, right? I mean, if we're just looking at it from a biological evolution standpoint, that seems like a step forward for the species. All joking aside, though, I think sometimes there's a biocentric view of a lot of things, and you know, there's a difference, a fundamental difference here. That I like that this question kind of explores is that, you know, humans have culture, and that significantly changes things when you're talking about evolution. You can't talk about, you can't look at things simply in terms of survivability and survival of the fittest when you have a culture, because you have this volition thing that messes it up a little bit. And by a little bit, I mean a whole lot. And I like that this, I like this question because it you can draw that, you can draw examples of that out of things. So there's some things that help you survive, and then there's other things that help the culture survive that may not be the best biological solution to a problem.
Indeed, and then the integration of technology into this will I think, again, radically change the way we evolve and survive.
Yeah, I can't wait till I evolve my robotic arms and have super strength or my whatever future way we're going to interact with computers. I mean, that's going to evolve, quote unquote, culturally. And I think you're going to see biological changes because of that.
So what you're saying is there's many directions we could go in with this question.
Yeah, mostly yes, but yes.
No, it's just yes or no.
I mean, I'm still fundamentally right.
Maybe?
As
is
always.
It maybe?
No, no, it's not maybe. Do or do not, there is no try.
You guys are giving me a lot of positive consent here, and that's making me feel uncomfortable. What about that? What about positive consent making people feel uncomfortable because it's so explicit and so awkward?
Yeah, there is that. Do you see that there was an app in the Apple App Store that was like basically the two of you signing a contract to have sex? Like, and both contracts had to be there before you got the little positive consent thing on your phone. How fucking awkward would that be? I'm sorry.
I might use that as a pickup line at the bar.
You need to initial there, sign here, date here, another initial. Did you read this? It's an addendum. It's an anal sex addendum. Okay. Initial there, sign this. Let's do it.
I feel like Ursula is like the head feminist. I just picture her getting people to sign these contracts and they all have the fine prints of you're giving up your soul.
Or at least your voice.
All right.
Then you can't say no. Oh.
So you're saying the Little Mermaid's about rape then, is what you're saying.
Aren't all Disney cartoons about rape in some way? I mean, come on. A Whole New World.
Next Reddit. Life pro tip. If you are heading to an appointment, use Google Maps, even if you know how to get there. The real-time traffic will automatically update your route so that you can get there as quickly as possible. And part of the reason I included this in this episode is, William, I know you have a response to this immediately.
I do. Use Waze. That's Waze is a great app. If you're just using the Apple Maps or your Google Maps on your Android, your default Maps program, You've got to have Waze. Even Waze, you don't even have to put the directions on that you're going. If you just open Waze, it'll kind of guess your route or what street you're on. It'll warn you about traffic ahead, cops, speed traps, construction. It's updated in real time. I know in LA, every time I open it, it says something like there's 40,000 Wazers on the app reporting problems or giving traffic updates. And even just having it open on your phone and running in the background, it will use that to send information to – Waze is actually owned by Google. It'll send it to Google to update traffic information. So, yeah, definitely use Waze. I know some people get frustrated because it does kind of make you take, like, surreptitious routes. But Waze has not led me wrong as long as I've listened to it. Sometimes I've said, I don't want to go that way. I'll stay on the 405 and then regretted it 4 hours later.
So
here, I have two things about Waze.
I had a joke.
All right, tell your stupid joke.
That is stupid. People who use Waze are called Wazers?
Yeah, that's what it says in the app.
We should give them all lasers.
Wazers, lasers?
Yeah, you stopped my train of thought for that? Thank you. Great. Fantastic.
No means no, Daniel.
And then we could get their names put on blazers.
Yes!
The laser blazers. God, I hate myself.
I'm gonna mute myself.
So here's my two things about Waze. One, I do think that Waze is a fantastic tool for avoiding traffic. But I don't think that the routes that Waze sends me on are necessarily faster per se. They are just there's less traffic. But the problem with that is sometimes traffic dissipates, or sometimes the traffic still moves faster than what you would take doing all the stops and turns on an alternative route. So in my comparisons, like if I don't want to sit in traffic, I use Waze. Like if I just don't want to deal with other human beings, which might be Justin 98% of the time. But if I necessarily want to get there the fastest, I typically use Google Maps still.
So you forgot what it's like to live in LA then, where it's always quicker to take the surface streets than sit on the 101 for 3 hours.
No, definitely. I would say that in LA, Waze is a godsend, and the people I know who live in LA use it all the time. Out here, I don't know if you've ever driven around. Well, William has. The surface streets in DC can suddenly be like from an M.C. Escher painting. It's like, why do I have to go 95 lefts in order to go the direction I want to go? Oh, because this is all one giant maze of crisscrossing streets. Especially when you get over into Arlington. Oh my God.
Oh,
your
come
life.
On, Al. You're forgetting the most important thing about DC traffic. At a specified time only understood by the locals, a street goes from two ways to one way. So you're driving on a street, all of a sudden there's a wall of cars, like the hordes of the Mongols coming at you. And you're like, holy shit.
The Dothraki just come at you.
Yeah.
I did forget that.
Well, no, that's because in DC you're
just... Yeah, I did completely forget
that. You're supposed to take the beltway. That's it.
You know, there was a radio station in DC that used to have a race around the Beltway during rush hour, and it was, you know, the that was the funny part, right? You know, it took them, you know, they're going top speed 20 miles an hour, right?
So I have one other thing about Waze, which is I would be more inclined to use Waze if the icons didn't all look like baby sperm.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
I think
they're
that,
little,
that's
like
a
little baby sperm with wheels on.
That's a
them.
Subconscious but- reason William likes it.
I love baby sperm. Adult sperm?
But they, I mean, even if it looked like regular sperm, I'd probably be okay. But they're all cutesy, and it's like, I'm not associating babies and sperm. Like, that's a bad thing for my psychology.
All right, moving on from Waze, I think there's a broader point in this life pro tip. And I think the broader point is just use technology. It makes things easier for you so you don't have to think about these things. It used to be back in the day to beat traffic, you had to know the city and pull out actual maps and figure out how to do it. But you can just automatize this with an app now and clear up your brain space.
It's true.
Yeah.
Unless you're using Apple Maps. In that case, you are fucked.
I don't know. Apple Maps has gotten better. I use, you know, being in the technology field, I use them all the time, but in the last year, Apple Maps has gotten a lot better. I find my GPS messes up more than, you know, like the actual location, Waze is very sensitive. If there's any complaint about Waze, it's very sensitive. It tries to figure out like almost down to like what lane you're in. So if you're in like downtown LA and you've got these tall buildings, all of a sudden it'll think, wait, maybe you're on the next street over. And it's like, oh shit, turn around, turn around. And they're like, no, I'm still on the same street. I'm okay.
So Waze is a woman. It's too sensitive.
You know, I turn it to the male voice on all my GPS apps. Call me gay. But, I like the dude telling me what to do versus the, very petulant woman telling me to, conduct
William,
a U-turn.
I always felt like this most sexist douche on the planet. When I had my phone set on the woman voice, I would miss so many turns. It'd just be like, I'm fucking ignoring her.
But there was a GPS that used to sound like Ayn Rand, and I used to say whenever I was getting directions that Ayn Rand was telling me what to do.
You just get to,
I didn't get know to Russian Walmart accent was one of the options. I'm gonna have to look in Waze and see if that's available.
It wasn't just a Walmart the and accent, it just says check it was your the premises. Cadence of the delivery, because if you listen to how Ayn Rand delivers things, it's almost like they recorded it to like deliver in like commentary in Madden or something.
But yeah,
there
so
you
I
go, John Madden voice for directions.
To say, if you turn right here, that is how you take the quicker route. And to take the quicker route, you save time, and that's a touchdown.
And that's 6 points.
You're gonna have to drive faster if you want to get there on time.
You know, I made this great point about technology and using it to clear up brain space and free up brain space, and you just started talking about Apple Maps again.
That's all I can do. I'm obsessed.
All right. Last Reddit. I've had religious people knock on my door encouraging me to be religious, but never have I had a homosexual knock on my door to encourage me to be homosexual. To which I know this person never lived in West Hollywood. I'm just kidding.
Give me your address. I'll make the pitch. No, I'm just kidding.
But I have been in like clubs or bars and had homosexuals encouraging me to be homosexual.
Yeah, I was going to say, unfortunately, again, not to bring my roommate into this, he gets encouraged to explore when he comes out with me every once in a while. It's always the creepy, call me fattest, it's always the creepy fat guy that's trying to encourage him to explore his sexuality.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Are there people who actually equate these things? Are they making an anti-religious argument here?
Yes, I think this is a Reddit anti-religious argument here.
Yeah.
Is this because some religious people think that gays are trying to recruit your kids?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
I was just
if you hang out with us, it will rub off on you. Sometimes literally.
Glad you made that joke, because in the middle of that statement, I was going to make that joke.
But that's not rape. Not rape! It's not rape.
You just raped my ears. That's offensive. I did not say yes, you can make that joke. And you made that joke anyway.
It's true. It's at least bullying. I don't know.
That's sexual ear harassment.
Oh, God. No puns. I just think that on the surface, those religious arguments are dumb. Because there's also no straight people out there, like, banging at her door saying, would you like to enjoy some vagina today?
Actually, right. If you come to Pride, you will see the religious nuts there offering to convert you back to straightness. So, yeah, I don't
literally
go door to door, but.
Huh. All right. Well, religious people, calm down, okay? The gays aren't hurting anyone.
Unless you want a little pain, then then they can oblige.
Yeah, then they're a real pain in the ass.
Oh, God.
Giggity.
Have you seen where the gays live? It's fabulous. Anywhere the gays go, the property values go up, there are planters, things are nicely painted in rainbow colors.
Wait, that's why you use Waze!
To find the gays?
It's an add-on.
can you combine your Grindr with your Waze?
Yeah, it gives you the GPS location. You can share location in Grindr, and then when you hit the map this to this location, you know, you can choose Waze as your app.
Waze gaze.
Yeah.
So is it like Highlander, where it helps you sense where other gays are? You walk into a room, you're like, there's a gay here.
I see gay people.
Oh, we are getting punchy now.
Gays use ways to get lays.
So many puns.
You. Just fuck you.
It's because they go to the supermarket to buy potato chips.
I'm assuming the gays aren't the number one consumer of Lay's potato chips. I think that's Midwesterners, but...
So there can't be gay Midwesterners?
Yes, but not...
As a... Yes. That's Midwesternist. Anti-Midwesternist.
It's rape somehow, probably.
Thank you.
You know what else is rape? You not promoting this podcast. Daniel's going to tell you how to not be a rapist.
Yeah. Don't we usually ask you how you learn things first?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I just
order of operations.
Justin's forgot how to manage his own podcast.
No means no, Daniel. Did I say to do what we learned this week?
Oh, I'm sorry that I emotionally raped you.
Clearly, Daniel has something he wants to tell us. So, what did you learn, Daniel?
I learned...
No, I'm done with this. No. You're raping me now.
I learned what the fuck mansplaining was. Stop mansplaining me, you idiot. Just because you're some male with a penis doesn't mean that you know things about anything. I honestly had no idea that was a concept. It's not even a concept, it's an anti-concept. But,
it's in the dictionary, along with what the fuck, or WTF, photobomb, and something else. Oh,
great. Anything can get in the fucking dictionary nowadays.
Yeah. All right, William, what did you learn?
I learned that the actual motivation for male to female transgenders is to live longer.
At least that makes sense.
Good point. Bruce Jenner gets 7 years added to his life.
What if everyone at a certain age, they just were like, oh, I'm a woman now, and they did that and it added to their life? What if that was the key to immortality?
I would not live forever.
What did you learn, Justin?
I learned that gays use ways to get lays.
Mm-hmm. Wah, wah.
And also, when you become a wazer, they give you a laser.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they give you an American Gladiator. Because you remember the American Gladiator named Laser?
Yeah. I thought you were just making a bad slant rhyme. If you learned something this week, why don't you tell us on Facebook.com.
Otherwise, you're
mid-side.
A rapist.
Yes. Don't be a rapist. Give us 5-star rating on iTunes.
Yeah, mansplain us in the rating exactly what was good about the episode.
Or we will make sure you can never work again in the history of ever.
Yeah, please leave us a review on iTunes that begins with the word actually, and then tell us where we were wrong. Or if you have a question that you want us to answer, if you think the Reddit on Reddits are dumb or the Yahoo Answers are dumb, then why don't you send us your questions? Type a question in the little comment box on the Facebook page or tweet your question at the mid-side, and we'll answer your question. Yes, yours.
Although behind the curtain, we pick them because they are dumb. So the dumber your question is, the better.
Yeah, but not your question, but, you know, the guy
behind Reddit
you,
question.
His
yeah.
question. Send us your questions. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Tell a friend! Tell a friend. Tell a friend. Thank you.
I'm Justin M. Wisneski, and I hope you learned something this week. This concludes your journey into the midside. Good luck out there, and remember, if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a day.
Have a day.
I'm totally leaving it in there like that. Bastards.
can't lower that third wall here at the midside.
Third wall.
We can't afford the fourth wall, Justin.